All right. We're going to get into our Bibles now. We're going to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 20. We're just going to read one verse today. And I'm going to preach on, this might be an unusual message, and it's a message I hope you don't need. Amen? I hope it's one you don't need, yet it's one we all need. I'm actually going to preach about death today. We're going to preach about death today. That's something we all have to face and deal with and in life and one day ourselves as well. But I think it'll be a help to you, especially it's one of those that gets better towards the end, so hang on. Amen. Let's look in 1 Samuel 20. Let's stand together. We're going to read verse 3, just verse 3 this morning. And David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." There is but a step between me and death. And I want to preach to you today on that. But a step, then death. But a step, then death. Let's pray. Father, guide and direct us and help us today, Lord. I know this is a more somber message, but Lord, I pray you'd give us some things that will help us today. Lord, thank you that we can be ready for that step. Lord, we can be saved and we can be on our way to heaven. And Lord, I pray you would use this to just remind us of this truth, but also encourage us in the Lord today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. David is talking to his best friend Jonathan. His best friend Jonathan has a father who is named King Saul. King Saul does not like David. God has already anointed David to be the next king. That means the king's son Jonathan will not be the next king. Saul's dynasty, if you will, is coming to an end, and he wants to do away with David. So you know David spent a lot of time running for his life from Saul, and this is the start of that. He's talking to Jonathan here. He says, "The Lord liveth, you live." By the way, Saul actually threw a javelin at his son David, Jonathan, because of his friendship with David. That's how insane he had got. But David here was saying, "Jonathan, you're safe. You're okay. Don't you worry. You're good. I'm the one that has my foot on a banana peel right now." That's the way he felt. He said, "I feel so vulnerable." He said, "There's but a step between me and death." Now, you know, the truth of the matter is we all understand that is the case for all of us. Now, he was in a bad situation, but it is the case for all of us today. I mean, there is but a step. Y'all, we often say you're just a heartbeat or a car wreck away from eternity, or a step, as he said here in this case. So David felt very vulnerable about what was going on in his life. But the truth of the statement is for everybody. Quite possibly, there is but a step between us and death. That's not pleasant. We don't like it. And God's got a remedy for it. Can I go ahead and say that? So let's smile about that. Amen? The Lord's got a remedy. The Lord offers eternal life. Now, we know the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we know that the wage that we earn by our sin is death, and the Bible talks about a second death, it's hell for eternity. But the gift, there's a difference between a wage and a gift. A wage is something you earned. A gift is something that is given by grace, right? If somebody gives you something, there's unmerited, you may not deserve it. It's unmerited favor. It is gracious that they will give you that. The Bible says God wants to give us eternal life. We've all lost loved ones, and the truth of the matter is if they were saved, we hadn't lost them. We know where they are. Amen? We hate the departure, but we know where they are, and we have the hope of a reunion with them, and that hope is an anticipation that we will get to see them again. Amen? Thank God for that. Let me give you several points today on this, though, and like I said, they'll get better. But number one, death is a step we all must take. Number one, death is a step we all must take. Listen to this verse in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, by the way, it's a complicated book, but it's a great book. Ecclesiastes 8 says, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. Now think about that. God just said through Solomon that facing death is something we have no control over. I mean, honestly, he said there's nothing we can do to stop it once that appointed time comes. It's a harsh reality. It's not pleasant, but it is a fact of life and living that we go through. Now, bereavement and grief. These are terrible things in life. We don't like bereavement. We don't like grief because of bereavement. We've all been there, right? And I've been there recently, and it is not a good situation. We don't like to grieve the loss of a loved one. It is difficult to endure that, but then we have to think about our own self. We have to think about our own eventual demise, our own dates, if you will. Your birthday, we celebrate those. We're glad to get another one. Amen? Because if we don't get that one, we know what's, you know, beyond, next, right? So Solomon admitted here there's nothing we can do. It is out of our control. We just have to trust God with it. I was in Sumter the other day in my hometown with my mom, and we were going into the bank to do some stuff and help her out with some things, and I ran into a gentleman. We were going in. He was coming out, and I know the gentleman well, so I said, hey, I need to talk to you. We told him about the passing of my dad, and he was sorry to hear it. But I said, I got to talk to you because you sold me a term life insurance 20 years ago, and it's coming due. And he smiled, and he said, you're 20 years older. I was like, well, you are too, by the way. But he said, you're 20 years older. I said, yeah, we got to talk about this. And gave me his card and said, call me. You can convert it the whole life. It's going to cost you a lot more, but you can. We'll talk about that, right? You know there's some people that make a living off of death. I mean, that's crazy, but they sell life insurance or they work at the funeral home, right? Some people make a living off of this thing. You know, that's terrible to think about. But the fact that I had to say, hey, I got to talk to you, you know? I mean, you sold me that thing 20, I feel like you ripped me off. But anyway, I'm coming due, and anyway, we'll talk about that perhaps. But why do we have to deal with those kind of things? I was 39. I said, get me through my 40s and 50s, and then, you know, everything will be good. And I'm like, no, I still need it, you know, in my life here. But anyway, but we have to deal with these things because the wages of sin is death. God told Adam, if you sin, you'll surely die. Romans 5:12 says, death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned, right? So we know we have to deal with it. We don't like to deal with it. It's something that it is a step we all must make. We don't want to think about that for ourselves, but it's a reality that we cannot control. Now, we try. I say we can't control it. I mean, we do what we can. We do the best we can. We try to take care of ourselves. We try to be healthy. Sometimes you have a health scare, and then you do even more, and you get more health conscious, right, for a little while. I've always said when I go into these hospitals and see these men that just went through open heart surgery, I always say to myself, I ain't going to end up there. I'm going to leave here and be real healthy because I don't want to be like that. And I can't say that I've kept that promise, to be honest with you. That's something, again, we can only control so much, right? All of these things. So it is a step we all must face. Number two, death is a step of unknown timing. We don't know that date. Only God does. Again, in Ecclesiastes, the Bible says, for man also knoweth not his time. As the fishes are taken in the evil net, and the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. He's saying, you know what? It's an unknown time. We don't know when the Lord's coming back, but we don't know when we're going to meet with the Lord either, right? We just don't know. God knows, and God has that date, but we don't know. I love this passage in James chapter 4. The Bible says in James 4, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, continue there a year, buy, sell, get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Is life a vapor? Did you get to where you're at a lot faster than you thought you would? Huh? Absolutely. Like that guy told me the other day, you're 20 years older. Yeah, boy, that happened fast. I'm telling you, you know. Life is but a vapor. I mean, the Bible's right when it describes life as a vapor. I mean, you're young one day, and it seems like the next day you're not. Now, I know there's a process to that, but that's the way it seems when you get to that point. So he says, you don't know what's on tomorrow. So death is a step of unknown timing. In Luke 12, God said unto a particular man, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? That goes along with what James said. Because James said people are like, I'm making my plans and I'm going to do this and I'm going to retire here and there and go here and go do all this. Then he said, well, wait a minute. You're going to die tonight, and then whose will these things be? In other words, it is a step of unknown timing. The Bible and experience teach us that this is true. It is inevitable. We're not looking forward to it. It's hard to prepare for it, even when you know it's coming. Now look, some of you, you face sudden bereavement. You face sudden death. It's hard. Even when you know it's coming, though, it's not. I don't know which one you'd rather have, honestly. Somebody going through a lot of sickness or not, and so forth. You know, my dad, we were saying about my dad, I kept saying, well, I knew he wasn't going to be with us for the holidays, right? So I pretty much knew that. My mom said, well, told me the other day, she said, well, I knew he wasn't going to be here for his birthday in July because she was with him every day. But the day that it happened, we weren't looking for it. I mean, I'd have been down there if I'd been looking for it that day, right? In fact, he was on the way to a doctor appointment when it happened. So a lot of times, it is an unknown time. And he had been praying and talking to the Lord about it. Lord, why am I going through all this? Why don't you just take me home? Maybe the Lord answered his prayer that day. I don't know. But even when you're looking for it. Now, you all have your stories. And my father-in-law passed a year and a half ago, and he was a healthy, active 83-year-old. He got sick, went to the hospital, stayed about a week, went home. Went to bed, never got out of that bed. 2 weeks later, he was gone. It happens fast like that sometimes. And, of course, like I say, you all understand that and have your own stories. But it is a step of unknown timing. We just don't know. God does, but we don't know what our date is. All right, number three, let me say this, though. Death is a step of departure. It is a leaving. That's why we grieve it and we don't like it. Job said, as the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. That's a hard thing to take. Earth is a temporal life. Death is a permanent departure. That's why, again, I think it's one of the hardest things that we deal with in life. But let me hasten here, okay? There is hope for the saved. Because the Bible says we saw not as others who have no hope. Because for them it is a permanent departure. It's over, it's done. But if they're saved, you see, Jesus Christ understood the departure. Because on the cross, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt that departure right there. That break from heaven. He understood it. He felt it. He sensed it. He's been through it. But we know that was not the end of it. Amen? We know that 3 days later, he resurrected. We celebrated that last week. 40 days after that, he was back in heaven with his Father. Amen? Right? That's the way it is. Even though, so what happens there? Death is this life is temporary. Death is permanent. Yet, death is not permanent for Christian people. In fact, it's the beginning of eternal life, and for those that are saved, we look forward to seeing them again forevermore in heaven. Amen? And so shall we be with the Lord forevermore. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful truth? It is, but now I'm saying it is a departure for now. It is a hard, difficult departure for now. It is a step of departure to where, again, we don't lose them if we know where they are. Thank God for the Bible, hope, and the promises we have in the Bible. So departure can be temporary for those who believe. It's temporary for those who believe. We don't really say goodbye, we say see you later. Amen? Again, that's in God's timing. I told you, my brother had told my parents when he died almost 20 years ago, I don't think it'll be long before y'all will be up here with me. Well, it was almost 20 years when my dad got there. But again, I think in my brother's, I don't know how it works up there, but to him, maybe it wasn't that long. Been expecting you. Amen? Right? I don't know. But that heaven is... it's different. Amen. We sang this morning, "This world is not my home." Interesting thing. I've been reading on it. You know, heaven, you know what? This world is our home forever. What I mean by that? I mean this. God's going to make a new earth. And that's going to be heaven forever. You know, the heaven they're in right now is a temporary place. The heaven that Revelation describes is the eternal heaven. That's where there's no more sorrow. God wipes away all tears. We enter into eternity with Him. Right now, I don't know that they don't have sorrow, and they might know some things that are going on down here. I mean, there's Bible proof that says that, right? You know, those martyrs in Revelation, by the way, they go to heaven because they were martyred, and they pray and they ask God to do something about what's still going on earth. They still knew what was happening down there, right? Anyway, I'm not getting into all that right now. I've been reading and studying on heaven, okay? But yes, it's going to be an eternal earth, a new earth, that we're going to live on forevermore. But this world of sin is not my home. Amen? And so the heaven they're in right now is a sinless place, and it is far better than the one that you are and I are in right now. But it is a step of departure. That's why we grieve. But let me give you this number four. Death is a step that must be taken alone or with Jesus. Get that. That's important. You're going to take this step alone or with Jesus. That makes all the difference in the world right there, folks. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." If you're lost, death is the worst thing. It's hell forever. It is a permanent departure from God, His love, His grace, His mercy, His presence, right? But if you take it with Jesus, you know, you ever heard the song at a funeral serenaded by angels? Luke 16 says the angels escorted Lazarus into the presence of God, into paradise. Pretty good thought. Not so for the rich man. He died alone. The other one died with God, with Jesus. Boy, that makes all the difference in the world. In Isaiah, the Bible says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee." Hey, till the storm passes by, He's with you. Amen, right? The choir just sang that. The Bible says, "But he," speaking of Stephen, "being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and they stoned Stephen," doing what? "Calling upon God and saying, Lord, receive my spirit." Lord, he's looking up into heaven, so what is he doing? He's dying with Jesus. He looks up into heaven and he sees the Lord. Amen? Right? That's not dying alone. Stephen was alone in a sense, and he was surrounded by enemies and they stoned him. But yet he was not alone because he looked up into heaven and he saw the Lord where he was going. You either die alone or you die with Jesus. The Bible says also, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." That's a hard verse for us. The death of his saints is precious in the sight of the Lord because he called one home. as he stood to welcome the entrance of Stephen. It's that way with all of them. Now, you think about it. If you die without the Lord, you do die alone. And that's the choice we make. You're alone because you rejected salvation in Christ. You're alone because you rejected heaven forevermore. You chose, if you're not realizing it perhaps, but you chose hell and eternal torment. It's physical suffering. It's emotional suffering. It's spiritual suffering. Again, it's eternity without God's love and presence and grace and mercy like you have right now. Amen. Thank God for it. But if a person dies without Christ, enters into a Christless eternity. Yet, let's say again, if you die with Jesus, it makes all the difference for eternity. The death of the saints, going with the Lord, serenaded by angels, escorted by angels into the presence of God. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful truth? It's a time of peace. In and into the presence of the Lord forevermore. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If your loved one died in Christ, you don't have to worry about them. You miss them, but you don't have to worry about them. You go see them again if you know the Lord. Amen, right? Why? Because they died with Christ. They didn't die alone. They died with Christ. Let me say one more, number five. Preparation for this death is necessary. Preparation for this death is necessary. Aren't you glad you don't have to make this step alone? Aren't you glad you don't have to take this trip by yourself? Now, and I don't even mean being surrounded by family. I'm talking about with the Lord. You don't have to take that step by yourself. You can prepare for this step. Isn't that what the Bible's all about? Isn't that what this lifetime is all about? What you do with Jesus in this lifetime determines your eternity, right? What you do with Jesus in this lifetime determines eternity. Somebody might just choose religion, try to be a good person, try to be nice to everybody. That's not salvation. If you choose Christ as your Savior, Jesus plus nothing else, as your personal Savior, that's what matters. That's how you prepare for this step, right? For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You're with Jesus. Amen? I know it's my story, but my dad told me last August before he went into surgery, he said, I'm as sure about my salvation as the Apostle Paul was about his. I like that. That's great assurance. I hope today you could say, I'm sure about my salvation. I have made my preparation. I have made my reservation. I have my name written on the roll up in heaven. Amen? Aren't you glad when this step comes, you can be ready for it? We don't really get ready for it in the earthly sense. We don't want to leave family. We got stuff to do. We got stuff to do. I ain't got time for getting sick. I ain't got time. Sure, I ain't got time for passing away, right? I don't have time for that. I got stuff to do. Y'all understand? Y'all feel that way? People go to heaven feeling that way. I had more to do. I had more to say. Or into eternity like that. But as far as where you go when you die, you can be prepared. What you do with Jesus right now matters for eternity. People say, oh, this is a life or death situation. Well, this certainly is. Oh, it's a life or death decision. This certainly is. For all eternity. So I'm glad you don't have to face it by yourself. I'm glad that we can go into the presence of the Lord. Preparation is necessary. John Wesley was a preacher many years ago, and in 1791, his last sermon, he preached Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. That was the last sermon he preached. He got sick after that. That's a great text. Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Because I tell you, at death, for a lost person, it's too late. He got sick. He was in his deathbed. John Wesley. His brother Charles had written a hymn, and that hymn said, "I the chief of sinners am, but Jesus died for me." And he just kept, John just kept singing his brother's hymn in his deathbed. And his last words were, "The best of all is, God is with us." He didn't die alone. He died with Christ. He was prepared. Someone else has said this, death is not extinguishing the light from the Christian. It is putting out the lamp because the dawn has come. I like that. You're not extinguishing the light from the Christian at all. In fact, you know what? Their testimony lives on. Your loved one who died in Christ, you're still influenced by them. Amen, right? Your loved one might be gone, but I tell you what they taught you and how much they loved you and what they instilled into you and how they influenced you lives on. Amen, I'm glad for that, right? The memories live on. It is not extinguishing the light from the Christian. It is putting out the lamp because the dawn has come for them. The night came, they went into heaven. Eternal day, eternal joy, eternal happiness. Amen? Be glad for your loved ones that are there. Right? We always say they wouldn't come back if they could after they got there. I don't know. I don't know how that works or how that is. We just know they're in a far better place. In fact, I'll say it like this. We wouldn't bring them back if we could once we know they're there, because they're so much better off. Amen? That old statement about, you know, they're better off, that does apply to Christians. They are far better off. The Bible says to die is gain. Far better. Heaven is far better than being down here. Be glad for your loved ones who died in Christ. Amen? And look, and be glad that you're going to be with them once again in heaven forever if you're saved. But a step, then death. David even had a baby that died. And David said, "I can't bring him back, but I can go to where he is." That's what we're talking about. He had that assurance. I can't bring him back. He wept over it. He grieved over it. But he took the hope of the truth that he would see that baby again. The good news is we can be ready. But a step, then death, we don't know. But I know this, because of the cross and because of Easter that we celebrated last week, because of death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we've got hope for eternity today. So, preacher, you're talking about death. That's no fun. I don't want to need this sermon. But it's Bible truth. It's a life truth that we must face. But I ask you today, dear friend, you're here today, do you know for sure, without a doubt, that heaven is your home? Do you know for sure, without a doubt, if you died today, you're going to heaven? You say, "I don't know about that. I'm not sure about that, or I hope for that." The Bible teaches us we can know. If we'll confess our sins and receive Jesus Christ by faith to be our Savior, He promises eternal life. People say, "That's arrogant to say if you die today, you're going to heaven." No, it's not. It's just believing the promise that Jesus made. If I say, if I die today, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person, that's arrogant, and that's a lie. But if I say, if I die today, I'm going to heaven because Jesus is my Savior, I'm just trusting Him because He promised it. Amen? Have you received Christ as your Savior? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is yours and you are His and He's prepared a place up there for you in heaven? It's that important. So this is not just a message on death. This is a message on salvation and hope for eternity. Amen? Right? It's a reality of the Bible. It's a reality we all face. It's something we don't like and we don't want to face. We've been through it, or it might be looming. You may have loved ones right now that you're concerned about. It's just part of life, isn't it? But the Bible has the remedy. Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Would you bow your heads with me this morning, please? Just looking at what the Bible says about this important fact of life. Dear Father, I pray now you speak to our hearts. Lord, I thank you for this emphasis you've given us today. Lord, there's other things we probably would have enjoyed preaching on more, but we know this is an important Bible truth. And Lord, for those of us who have lost loved ones, we thank you for the salvation, Lord. Those that went and died in Christ, we thank you, Lord, for their salvation today. But Lord, for those of us that are here today, help us to know that heaven is our home. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross. Thank you for paying our sin debt so that we don't have to in hell forever. And Lord, if there's some here today who need to receive Christ as their Savior, as their substitute in death, I pray, Lord, you'd draw on that heart. You'd speak to that heart today, Lord, that today could be the day of salvation and they could get this thing right. Lord, encourage our hearts today, Lord, that the Bible is our hope. The Bible does have the answers. The Bible does tell us the truth about these matters. Thank you for your word. And Lord, meet the needs here this morning, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed. A little music plays. If you need to come this morning, I urge you to do so. No need to wait or hesitate. How about you this morning? Do you have it settled? Do you know it's settled between you and the Lord? Do you wonder about it? Is it something you hope will turn out okay? Or is it something that you know will turn out okay? You're in the right place today to get the answers. Jesus is the way to heaven. He said, I'm the truth, the life. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Where's the Father? In heaven. He says he's the way to heaven. Do you know him today as your Savior? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if there's anybody in our midst today that might just say, Preacher, I'd like you to remember me in prayer. I am concerned about my own soul and my own place in eternity. Nobody looking but this preacher. Would you just lift your hand up and say right where you are, would you remember me in prayer? I am concerned about my soul. I am concerned about my own soul. Anybody like that today? I am concerned. Thank you. Thank you. Any others today? I am concerned about my own soul. I want to know. I want to get it right. Dear Lord, I pray you'd help these today. Draw them to yourself. Show them the way. Help them, Lord, to get that settled in their soul. If you need to come today and ask God to be your Savior, ask Jesus to save your soul, confess your sins, get it settled today. We already sang today about leave your burden with the Lord. You can do that on this altar no matter what the sermon is, no matter what the message is. You can come and lay your burdens on this altar, asking for the Lord's help. You can do that anytime, any service, no matter what the message is.